I don't like that one guy. The moose guy.
Yeah, Dave Coulier.
Yeah. Joey. That guy's ass.
He's awesome.
No way.
He's like the creepy uncle.
He's a total creeper. I don't like him at all.
Everybody's got a creepy
uncle. Cut it out.
That guy, yeah. Ooh, the Bullwinkle voice. Hate it. And his little
hot... I don't like that. Here's Popeye.
I didn't like that either. God, I hate that asshole, dude.
Ah! You and Alanis Morissette both.
Yeah. He's the one that she blew in the theater, right?
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
That's a great way to remember him.
Way to pick the one line of the song.
Hey, it is a memorable line, though.
I was a teenager.
Dan, you on a movie theater.
There you go.
I approve.
God damn it! I get it!
This crap. This is terrible.
I was titillated.
I know you want to go.
No, I slept with like 3 girls a night and no one ever said anything.
Dude.
Oh, God. You guys are disgusting.
Boring.
So boring.
That is an amazing film.
Ooh, I love me some Statham.
That's a little bit of brilliance that just came out of your mouth there, Justin. I like it.
Do you want to keep going?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, geeks of all ages, welcome back to another exciting episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm Justin Cavender, and as always, I'm joined by Amanda, David, and Randy. How are you three doing today?
Good.
Fantastic.
So good.
Ooh, so good.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. I was sick all last week, but I'm feeling much better today. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had the medicines there. Western medicine.
What?
It works.
No, it doesn't.
Sure it does.
Pills and, yeah. You're an addict now.
Big pills and lots of water.
You're probably pregnant.
All suppositories.
No, you're doing it right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to say that I have a tight ass or anything, but the one time I ever had to take a suppository for anything, I swear to God, I could not get it in there. It was like, you ever try putting like the wrong key in your door and it just won't fit? You're like trying to shove a bigger key in there and it just isn't going in, and you're either too tired or you just don't know why it just isn't working, so you keep forcing it and you end up breaking it off.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't break anything off, but it was uncomfortable.
Oh. You got to relax, man. You got to breathe.
Yeah.
You got to breathe out and then push it in on the in-breath.
We would have helped you put it in. Why didn't you call us?
Yeah. Would have worn those like gloves that go to your elbow.
Yeah.
Like the ones that they use to manually masturbate horses.
Yeah, like stick it all the way.
Just like
pull
that.
Pull out your heart.
Exactly. Anyway.
I know. We found an opening.
I know. I want to say speaking of, but I couldn't think of anything that remotely related to the gloves. Anyway.
Speaking of festering ass wounds.
They're not kid gloves, Mr. Valiant. Anyway. Randy, I know you are hot to trot over the Star War, and we have some fun and festive rumors spinning about the world of Star Wars and a galaxy far, far away. So why don't you kick us off?
We do. We have so many fun rumors right now. So it kind of came out in the months since episode 7, 8, and 9 have been first talked about, that there's going to be all sorts of spinoffs, right? And we had the idea that one was going to be Han Solo, we were going to get a Boba Fett, and the other one was most likely going to be Yoda. Well, now they're talking about the possibility of having an Obi-Wan spinoff. And as of right now, there's really no time period it would be set in, whether it'd be closer to the end of the Clone War and prequel era, or if it would be a little bit closer to the beginning of the original trilogy era. But I think that could be a lot of fun. What are you guys thinking about an Obi-Wan spinoff?
I think it's fabulous. I like Ewan McGregor, and I want to see him come back.
I would absolutely love to see Ewan McGregor come back, and I think he was one of the shining beacons of light in the prequel trilogy. And that is something that I absolutely do not mind carrying over in any way, shape, or form.
And you know what's funny is that I think a lot of people forget. Well, I mean, up until recently, no one really knew how cool Obi-Wan Kenobi really was. At least me in particular, because I wasn't into the whole expanded universe. But the man has fought some really bad dudes, and he's the one that actually took them all out. You know, you're just looking at like Darth Maul, freaking
Grievous.
Yeah. Vader. Grievous several Vader. Times.
Yeah.
Darth Maul several times.
A very angry Darth Vader. That's not too shabby. That's quite the resume.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was a character that we briefly saw in the original trilogy, and since almost all the expanded universe took place after Return of the Jedi, you knew very little of him pre-Episode 4, and it was exciting to see in the prequel. So I agree with Randy that he was definitely the shining light, and you know, having an actor of Ewan McGregor's caliber is never a bad thing. I would love it if they set it between like 3 and 4. Mm-hmm. My only apprehension was I was kind of excited about the standalones not involving like the Jedi or the Sith. Like I was really excited about, you know, Han Solo, Boba Fett, Yoda. I wasn't as apprehensive about him being a standalone movie as a Jedi, because they can. I would love for them to set the Yoda movie like 800 years in the past, to where it's just like
he's a like
young,
a tadpole.
Yeah, he's like just this like rash little like teenager or something like that. It's like you don't know what you're talking about, guys. But
you don't want to see him for 2 hours just chilling on Dagobah. Just going crazy, slowly losing his mind. It's all
talking
like
to himself.
It's Marlon Brando, real like Apocalypse Now, Heart
like
of Darkness.
Wiping his
kind of
forehead.
Stuff.
Yeah, he's like got like a bowl of water, and he's just kind of patting his forehead with it.
That would be like the best marketing. Like the first trailer we get for the Yoda standalone movie is like just like him like in Dagobah. He's like just staring at the sky, watching the little birds fly by, and sees something swimming in the. Just like 2 minutes of him just chilling on Dagobah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, you see something swim by, and like with lightning fast reflexes, he just grabs it and snaps its neck. It's just like something real uncharacteristic of Yoda.
Yeah, he just looks at the camera and is like, oh, fucking with you, I am.
So what does he say in Apocalypse Now? It's like, I've seen the horrors. But like in Yoda speak, it would be like the horrors I've seen. Or
yeah.
And just wiping his little face. In a little shadow, just sitting on a cot. That'd be awesome.
That'd be awesome.
That would not suck.
No.
It would anger a lot of fans, I have a feeling, though. Bad, bad stuff there.
Not to mention, kids watch this.
What? Star Wars isn't for kids.
And he goes and puts somebody's head in another person's lap.
Yeah. I'm going to put your head in his ass. Did you ever see Hancock? He did that. That was a thing.
I forgot about that movie.
Yeah. So did everyone else.
Terrible.
Sorry I brought it up.
It's all good. So what else is going on in the rumor mill of the Star Wars?
Well, how do you like the idea of like an aristocratic kind of class structure in the Star Wars universe? Like the whole Count Dooku thing. Because apparently, now this is strictly just a rumor, but Adam Driver's character may have some connection to Count Dooku.
Like his seed or just like a cousin or something?
In the same family line, somehow holding a similar title.
But not
as
kid, though, right?
Not necessarily his kid, because this would be so far down the line, it would have to be more like his grandkid, I think.
Right.
But he doesn't have kids, though, right? Don't Jedi's not... They don't...
Yeah, but he kind of fell and went to the dark side, so I mean, he could have been spreading his seed. Granted, it was a little later in life by the time he left the Jedi Order, but he could have just, like... Yeah, gone to the interstellar brothel and just had himself some nice Twi'lek ladies.
He
didn't go straight dark side. So I mean, he could have lived a normal life for like a couple years and like banged some broads and.
What if a woman made him go to the dark side?
What?
That happens.
Like a Padme thing.
I generally see the women in Star Wars being the root of all evil, causing the temptation of the men to fall to the dark side, do stupid things they normally wouldn't do.
Yeah, like rob a bank and shit.
Like kill a bunch of kids and stuff.
Yeah, well, the whole thing with Padme, that was kind of a lame story. That didn't really, the payoff wasn't there.
Right, well.
She needed to be on a ship that the Jedi chose to destroy or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like... The Jedi needed to have a direct correlation to her death to make him upset with the Jedi. I don't like how he just submitted to the Emperor because he supposedly had a way to save her. You know what I mean? I don't think that was a big enough reason to justify him going to Crazy Town.
Right. I had a dream where my wife dies. I have to cut off Mace Windu's arm.
Right.
I don't make that correlation. If and then she loses the will to live.
I don't like that.
Yeah. Not going to lie, it was a little bit weak. Yeah. Hey, you know,
But Adam Driver is an amazing actor, and I whatever part he plays, I hope it's a large part.
Who is he?
He's kind of like one of the indie darlings right now, and you probably, if you would know him at all, you would know him from the TV show Girls, if you watched that.
I did not watch that, no.
Yeah, it's not a very good show, but he's good.
There's a fun picture or two over on makingstarwars.net, which is where some of this news is being scooped, that has what is believed to be Mr. Driver there wearing a full Rebel flight suit.
Ooh.
I don't know if you guys have seen this picture yet. It's brand new. I'm looking at it right now. It looks like something relatively new in the last day or so. And I can't tell if it's orange or red, this particular flight suit, but it's definitely Rebel in nature, or at least looks like the traditional Rebel flight suits.
It's not just a space cone.
No, and this is and this kind of also goes to some more leaked pictures that came out over the last week since our last podcast. There's been some great aerial photography over one of the locations in England that is basically an old military base where they used to keep all sorts of nuclear warheads back in the Cold War era, and now they're just kind of like a bunch of empty hangars, but they've positioned a couple life-size X-Wing props, or whatever they're calling the new Rebel fighter, along with a couple 2D facsimiles to make it look like it looks like they're either going to replace them in post, or they're just kind of, they put them out there to extend it out to make it look like there's more of them built for however they're shooting it. But there were at least two full-size X-Wing models out there, including one that was like all black and orange, which is super uber badass looking, and I'm really curious to see what character is going to be flying that thing around, because that is The pantheon of Star Wars fighter pilots, as the purple lightsaber is to the Star Wars Jedi. So we know it was very distinctive, belonging to Mace Windu. So who is this cool, super cool black fighter going to belong to in the next Star Wars movie?
Wait,
is it Adam Driver? I don't know.
Are black ships camouflaged in space? Does it work that way? If you have a black spaceship, is it possible that you won't be seen?
It makes sense.
By the eye. but they all use sensors and stuff like that, so you have to have
Small has a cloaking device.
That's right.
But look at the, speaking of the prequel movies, look at the Queen ship from Episode 1, how it was all chrome. Mm-hmm. Theoretically, that should have been perfectly camouflaged, because it's only going to be reflective of the blackness and the stars around it, yet it always looked chrome, it always looked silvery, it never really blended in, because it wouldn't be very interesting looking if you just saw like a little bit of ripply distortion flying across the screen. You had to have something cool to look at. So I'm real curious to see how a black fighter like that is going to look, unless they want it to appear camouflage. So that is a damn fine question, because that also brings up the fact that there's supposed to be some camouflage troopers in this movie too. Whether that means their armor is going to make them appear invisible, or I've also heard like a chrome version of the stormtroopers might make an appearance. So
interesting. What other rumors you got? Stuff.
Well, the aerography is kind of cool, because like it was just like some like sightseers. Like, they were on, like, a sightseeing tour, and, like, they just flew over where it was, and they saw the Falcon and the X-Wings.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, the Falcon, I didn't even mention that. Half of the Falcon was set up out there, too. So, and again, it was one of those things where, from the perspective they were going to be shooting at, it probably looked like the whole thing was there. But super, super cool. But even after that, somebody had sent a drone back over there a couple days later after those first pictures hit the internet, and the drone was able to get a lot more pictures, and those are the ones that had the photos of the black X-Wing and the whole Rebel base populated with crew and possibly extras and that kind of stuff. There was all sorts of sci-fi tech out there populating it, all sorts of fun production design going on. So that's
just like some kind of... Is this some sort of like GoPro type of drone thing? Like how you wanted to have like your little Zeppelin GoPro fly over Comic Con or whatever?
Quadcopter.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Oh, man. It would be so. You know, I found out the reason why it's illegal to fly any kind of drone over the convention center at San Diego, because it is right next to the airport, and it's restricted airspace.
Yeah.
So that's why we would have been arrested if we tried to get some super cool helicopter shots.
We'd have to illegally scratch off the serial number and get rid of the property of Geek Legacy.
Right.
I gotta catch me first.
And when you start up the camera, make sure it's not pointing directly at your face before it takes off.
Right. We gotta wear masks. Ski masks.
Yeah, ski masks.
In San Diego in July. That's brilliant.
That's okay. We'll just be one of the million other Deadpools. Just put on a black and red mask and we'll be fine.
So, back to the Star Wars. I hear that we might be exploring the Sith homeworlds. Is that correct?
There is talk of that, too. So, that kind of goes back to some of the stuff that we've heard about these Sith Inquisitor characters, about how there is a larger Sith force, and it is more than just the rule of two that we've been brought up believing over the past 15 years now, since the prequel started. So,
well, Sith Inquisitors aren't Sith.
Well, like, they're not Sith.
Like, they're not like part of the two.
Okay. Yeah, so just for clarification, when we say Sith homeworld, we don't mean a Sith as a race. We just mean that this is the planet where it all started. Why don't we just explain what a Sith is, really fast?
Well, there's the thing called
140 characters. Do it.
All right. Well, there's a pureblood Sith, which is actually a race. It's a being, and they have red skin and these little chin tendrils. And then there's the Sith Order, much like the Jedi Order. I don't know if we call it an order, but that's more of like a religion.
I see.
So there's an actual race of Sith beings, and then there's like the Sith way of thinking, which is pretty much channeling and using the dark side of the Force. So however they damn well please.
They're like Jewish in a way, right? You're like, when you're Jewish, you are not only a race, but a religion at the same time. It's a twofer.
I would never have voluntarily described it that way, but it sounds pretty dead on. So, yeah, I guess that's pretty much it.
And when you're dealing with, like, Force powers, you know, there are people who are super powerful, like your Yodas and your Anakins. But then there's a lot of people that just have, like, little minor, like, abilities. And those people, that, like, maybe someone can, like, help plants grow a little bit better and stuff like that. And so people like that don't become Jedi and Sith. They become
slaves.
Sort of. And so the Sith have their Inquisitors, which are people that they would send out to do like lesser tasks that didn't need like the blunt force of a Darth Vader or like the subtle nuances of a Palpatine. But they needed someone out there who could do a little bit of stuff and who could handle themselves. And so they have their Sith Inquisitors. And there's no real limit to them. There's usually a council of them. And so this isn't really so much.
They're not the ditch diggers. They're more the white collar.
No, they have slaves for that. Sith are all about the slaves, you know. So they have just the normal non-force sensitive people digging their ditches and building their stuff and serving them food and stuff like that. So Sith Inquisitors, they're not necessarily going to jack with the rule of two.
Yeah, and well, look at it this way too, because even when the rule of two was in effect, there were always Sith acolytes, which were basically beings that were strong with the dark side that had some control over it, but they weren't trained in the ways of the Sith. So well, you know, they could wield a lightsaber, but they wouldn't be able to stand up to a Darth Maul, you know?
Isn't it very Sith of them to not follow the rule of two? Like, you know, we're a bunch of rule breakers anyway. It's all about the chaos, so fuck the rule of two. Let's have four or five or six. Or
yeah, absolutely. I think Plagueis was just yanking Palpatine's chain, just like, and he's still alive this whole time, right? And he's just watching Palpatine and Vader, you know, raise their army and build their Death Stars and all the stuff. He's just kind of watching it on a big screen going, ha, 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 look at these fuckers, you know?
It's like, I need that guy's leg.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. He is the rocket of the scenario.
I like it.
So, you know, and the Sith homeworld, they're calling it Moribond. And I'm not, I don't know a whole lot about the Sith homeworld according to the old expanded universe, but I always knew it as Korriban, and that was, you could, in many different video games, if you ever went to the Sith homeworld or any kind of big Sith concentrated training area where they have all their holocrons and crap, it was always on Korriban.
Well, maybe that's Site B.
Yeah,
it's the second Korriban island the Jurassic Park thing.
Yeah, it's been Korriban since 1991 when Dark Empire introduced it, but
that Abrams, man.
Yeah.
What does he know?
Well,
Hamill?
Yeah, well, you know, now the rumors are coming out that that Luke Skywalker hasn't been gone for 30 years. He's actually only been missing for 10 to 15 years. So it's not nearly such a gigantic gap of time. So that might make it a little bit easier to swallow, because we're like, how in the hell do you misplace the last of the Jedi for 3 decades? I guess it's a little bit easier to stomach if it's only one decade. But right. that would kind of lead you to believe that, well, maybe Han, Leia, and Luke all stayed together in a tight-knit group until whatever happened 10 years ago happened. But you know, we're just going to have to wait until we get more information, because at this point, who knows what's going to happen. But those are the rumors that are hitting the internet as we speak. Yeah. I do have one last little tidbit for you guys, too, and this is something you may not have heard yet. There have been little signs popping up all over... Oxfordshire in England, and they're basically directing crew to get to a location, and they're calling it Endor. Now, whether that's just a clever code word to really throw people off, or if they're actually shooting scenes that are intended to be Endor, there in England, they have a sign for Endor location, Endor base, base unit, all this different kind of stuff, but it's very clearly Endor in a lot of these signs, and people are speculating. We've already brought this up in the past, that possibly the Sith Inquisitors would have visited the site of the Ewok celebration from the end of Return of the Jedi and find Vader's charred corpse. So this could be lending some credence to that story about these Inquisitors just being one step behind Luke before they finally catch up to him and find him. So... will Endor and the Ewoks be making a return in Episode 7? You'll just have to stay tuned to the Geek Legacy podcast and find out.
Or wait till December 18th, 2015. But real quick on the Mark Hamill rumor, like the possibility that he's been missing for 10 years is not something that offends me, like the 35
year gap. I agree.
I could see it being a real cool story to where, you know, they pretty much defeat the Empire or, you know, push it back a lot. And then Luke really goes on his quest to rebuild the Jedi Order, because I believe that that really is Luke's calling. And he kind of goes off on a quest and just isn't heard from. And well, guys, no one knows where he is.
Look at it like this. How many years were between Empire and Jedi? Wasn't that supposed to be 5 years? And Han was gone that entire time. Was it only three?
Mm-hmm, 3 years.
All right. Well, okay.
But I mean, yeah, he's still gone. Wait,
still, what? Yeah.
Why did it take so long when they knew where he was?
Wait, Boba Fett took the long way.
Oh, I see.
He was kind of taking him on a victory lap,
right? You know? Touring like artwork, just like hitting all the different art shows.
I was saying like hitting like all the dive bars and nudie bars, just showing off his trophy, going yeah,
getting all the Twilight. You know?
He made sweet love on top of Han Solo.
Oh, yeah, he did it. He did it dirty with a Rodian too. Yeah, that
with
guy
Greedo's, with Greedo's sister. This guy killed your brother. Let's do it on top of him.
I think that, you know, back to Mr. Fett. I think that would have been a fun little story if somehow they're able to tie in Mace Windu's lightsaber to Boba Fett. Like he has it in his collection. Like even though it went flying out the window, but just some, you know, he was so well known as being like a great Jedi, right? That his lightsaber would be recognizable, correct?
Because he's the only one with a purple one. Yeah,
right. That'd be sweet if he had it.
I totally agree.
Someone's got to. I guarantee that went for a lot of money on the black market.
Yeah, it went through somebody's moon roof.
Yeah. Hit some guy in the head, and he's like, "What the heck, man?"
Yeah. Now, do lightsabers turn off as soon as you let go of them, or are you always holding down a button, or can you turn it on and leave it on?
You can turn it on and leave it on because Darth Vader throwing it at Luke and Jedi.
Does it start to sink? But does it start to sink through the floor because it's so hot? Like when it lands on the ground, will it just keep dropping?
Like, you mean?
Yeah, like alien blood, how it just keeps dripping and seeping through the floor levels.
I was just going to use alien blood as a frame of reference. But here's the thing, though. I mean,
it was off when it fell out.
Yeah, you can immediately switch it off just with the Force, you know. Have it on just long enough to slice through the bridge or whatever you're cutting through, and then instantaneously turn it off, or just have it suck it right back to your hand.
Is there a clapper device for lightsabers?
Yeah, it's the worst thing ever. Like, the bad guy just claps and then shoots you, like, three times.
Yeah, it's still strapped to your hip. He just comes up behind you, clap, clap, vroom, just severs your leg.
Yeah, it goes off on you.
That would suck. I'm surprised that more Jedis don't turn on each other's lightsabers when they're not ready.
Just a mess.
I have to imagine there's some sort of, I don't know if you want to call it like genetic coding or something, that the right person has to have it in their hand for it to be able to be activated. Maybe it's not in every single lightsaber model, but there has to be something similar to that. Because something like that exists for blasters in the Star Wars universe, right?
Yeah.
Or the right person has to be holding it to be able to make it work.
But doesn't Vader turn on Luke's green one?
Okay. And Han turns on Luke's. Well, actually, Han turns on Luke/Vader's.
Yeah. He turns on Anakin. He's like, where'd you get this old piece of shit?
This thing's like 30. This thing's like 30 years old, man. You want antiquing with the old man?
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, I mean, by that definition, Obi-Wan and Luke shouldn't have been able to turn it on either.
Right.
Okay. Although Luke is genetically from Anakin.
Yeah. Obi-Wan just never tried to turn it on. He's like, I got my own.
Right. Anyway, excellent news on the Star Wars front. I'm excited.
Lots of news.
A lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
Wait. Top-notch reporting, Randy.
Fun stuff.
Dave, I understand your good friend, Mr. Snyder, is a fan of the iPhone and the pictures that it can take.
He is not. he says sometimes an iPhone just doesn't do a picture image, and so you got to use a Nikon camera because Nikon's all over Man of Steel.
What did you say?
Doesn't do a picture justice.
You said image.
Did I?
Yes, and I got confused. Oh. I think it's funny how he used the word justice too.
It is.
That's like when they say the title of the movie in the movie.
Right. We're the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Ooh, they said it.
Everyone collapsed. Like, oh my god, they said the title of the movie. It's so great. Yeah. But yeah, no. Mid last week, they're filming Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice, you know, in public. So everyone's taking their pictures of the new Batmobile, and a lot of people were leaking their images, you know, on their Instagrams and their Twitters and their Facebooks. And so Zack Snyder figured, hey, secret's out. I might as well send a good picture. And so he had the still photographer on the film take some pretty awesome stills of the Batmobile, and he released it on his own Twitter. And so we got our first official look at the Batmobile, and I'm not going to lie, I think it's pretty rad. What do you think about it, Justin?
Yeah, I'm a fan, I guess. I mean, I like the Batmobile in most capacities. I never really cared for it in the Nolan trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the whole tank thing. But this one looks more Batmobile-y. I mean, it's still tankish, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think Jeff the Mighty Jerd said it best. He said it's like the Tumbler from the Nolan universe and the Batmobile from the Tim Burton universe. Went to town on each other, and this is their illegitimate love baby.
Yeah. And so, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Well, what do you think, Randy, about people who are bitching that it's got guns on it?
I think that's ridiculous, because look at just about every other Batmobile incarnation we've seen. There are guns on it to some degree. It was a big element in the Tim Burton movies. I mean, look at some of the different toys that Batman was using against the Joker. We saw him full-on trying to mow the guy down. So I'm not offended by it at all, because you know he's not going to be using it to kill people. He's just going to be using it to clear debris out of his path, or to cut a hole in a wall to drive through, or something like that. You know, he's not going to be just – it's not going to be wanton destruction. Although, who knows, maybe it is after watching the end of Man of Steel and just seeing millions of people die in an entire city – getting destroyed just from two people fighting. So who knows? Maybe everybody will die. But I don't think people have any ground to stand on when they're talking about guns on the Batmobile. It is, it belongs there like candles do on a birthday cake.
Oh,
I wish it was a little bit more like the Burton Batmobile though. Like I wish it was just more of a nod to that one,
right?
Where it just like pops out of a panel and
yeah.
It's just cute looking.
Yeah. Like it looks like a car, but at the same time, it's got something like Speed Racer. You know, the Mach 5 looks like a car, but press some buttons and some really cool shit happens.
And I'm going to say, when it comes to the photo that was officially posted, I think that's from the same photo shoot where they... where we saw the first image of Affleck in the bat suit, because it looked like it was in the same abandoned warehouse kind of location. So I'm pretty sure they already had all those beauty shots of the Batmobile ready to go, and they were just waiting for the right time to release them. So
yeah, I don't think he ran right out.
Yeah, I don't think he ran right out and had the photographer take pictures in response to the leaked images. I think they were on standby, and it was just like, release the hounds, you know. And the team just put them up. But
what do you think? What do you think about it, Amanda? You're a Well, what's the girl's perspective on the Batmobile? Would you, if this guy pulls up to you, Bruce Wayne, handsome guy, maybe he's Batman, rolls down the window and says, "Hey, you want to go get a latte? You getting in this car?"
Probably not, because it's a stranger who rolled up in a car next to me. And
he's Batman. Everyone knows him.
Stranger danger, Dave.
Well, what do you think of the overall design of it?
I think it looks pretty ugly.
Oh, yeah? But do you think that maybe, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not defending Mr. Snyder here. You guys know that.
It sounds like you're going up to bat for him, Dave.
Do you think in a functional world that they're trying to create the Batmobile in, do you think we could go back to a Corvette-themed design like in the Burton movies? Or do you think, because this Batmobile is probably going to ram Superman at one point, so do you think that we need, like, would Batman, if you were real, have a tank like this? Or would he have, like, the Batmobile from Tim Burton, where it's just, like, a cool car?
I don't know. I mean, I guess if what they want to do is, yeah, have a tank that will run shit over, then it'll get the job done.
Mission accomplished, man.
Or go back to the 1960s Cadillac-looking, double-bubble, crazy Batman and Robin mobile. There's that option, too. All blue and orange.
I'm trying to, like, figure out how to articulate what I'm thinking.
The car looks dumb.
No. I'm thinking about the Batmobile in relation to Batman and, you know, what it says about Batman and what it signifies and why it's such an integral part of who Batman is. So if we think about it in those terms, you know, them making the Batmobile look like that, you know, like with a tank, that's like a tank with guns all over it and like turrets and shit. I mean, that they're making a definite statement about who their Batman is. So instead of, you know, the billionaire playboy who drives around in a sleek looking Corvette, this is a Batman who does serious shit.
Right. He's a little older, a little wiser, and he's not taking any chances. He's gonna blow your ass away.
He's not fucking around. He drives a fucking tank.
He's seen the damage that Superman has caused, and he knows what he needs.
He needs a heavily armed recreational vehicle.
Yeah, that there is an RV.
Well, speaking of the man under the cowl, Ben Affleck, who's going to play Batman, was recently asked about Batman's anger issues. And Ben Affleck really kind of brought it back, and he said, you know, Batman's anger issues
what
are a
anger
lot
issues?
Like...
He yelled at the person who asked him the question.
He said a lot like his. He was saying that he tends to be respectful, polite, he likes to get along, he puts up with, and then finally it emerges. It's not something he has total control over. He's not going to go Wolverine berserker on people, but he's like a caged animal, and he's only going to take so much shit. And
it's like a race car in the red.
Exactly. And Zack Snyder's kind of come out and said that some of the reason that he cast Ben Affleck is because of his ability to put up with all the negative stuff, with just bottling up. And he said that's kind of a perfect quality of like Bruce Wayne, that Bruce Wayne just has to take it and take it and take it. And then all of a sudden he can put on that cape and cowl and he doesn't have to take shit anymore. He's the one giving the shit. So, kind of gave me an excited little flutter of the direction that they might be taking Batman. So I don't know what you thought about it, Randy.
I love it. I don't mind seeing a little bit of rage in my heroes. Something I can relate to. No, I think it's great. And honestly, though, I'm just anxious to see anything different that Affleck brings to the role. You know, we're aching for a new Batman. We don't want one that feels like Christian Bale. We don't want one that feels like any of the Burton or Schumacher Batmans. You know, we want something new. And I'm okay if it's in touch with his anger.
Yeah, it kind of comes back to what Amanda was saying, that like the Batmobile makes a clear statement about this is a different Batman. And
it's not your daddy's Batman.
It's your daddy's Batman. So I think that by really playing up the anger aspect of Bruce Wayne slash Batman, that it can only end well for us as movie-going audience, even if there is no humor in this universe.
My parents are dead.
Yeah.
I heard Affleck had his parents killed so he could channel that anger.
Oh, jeez.
He's like, I go full method, man. Full method. Yeah, so...
Yeah, sorry, too much?
Nice. Too soon?
Yeesh.
That's what I heard. It was rumor mill, Randy.
Yeah, you
can comment on rumors.
Now, this is a good question for you, Justin. Now, with obviously Batman and Superman are going to be the two main components of this because they're in the title and stuff like that. There's been so many casting rumors and so many people cast for the film. Do you think Zack Snyder is going out of his way to really promote Batman and Superman as a way to like assure fans that the message isn't getting muddled at its core? This is a Batman v Superman movie just with these extra players. Or do you think it's just misdirection and we're going to get like a mini Justice League movie?
Yeah, I think it's misdirection. I don't think we're getting enough information. I mean, it's still early, but I mean, he had a perfect opportunity at Comic-Con to really blow us away, but Affleck and what's his name?
Cavill.
They didn't even say anything. They just walked out on stage and everyone clapped and whatever. And then that was it.
Could have been robots.
Yeah. Stupid.
Oh my god. Maybe they were robots.
I just think it was an opportunity to, especially with all the fan backlash, they were in a room with people that could really have, you know, asked some questions. And I mean, they could have even have been like plants in the audience just to get, you know, the right questions asked just for the sake of PR. You know what I mean? And they didn't even do that.
I mean, look what it did for, you know, Iron Man, you know. Second, Robert Downey Jr. showed up on stage for Iron Man 1. I mean, that was the beginning of it for Marvel. After that, it was all uphill from there.
Right. I mean, yeah, they showed people that clip, right, with the eyes and, there's a bat signal, we're angry, and blah, blah, blah. But I don't think it's enough. And it was only exclusive to Comic-Con. People can't even really watch it. I think that they need to be showing us stuff. Not just a picture or a hint. Oh, this could be an ear from the cowl. You know what I mean?
Marvel's usually pretty good about releasing this stuff like a couple months later, so you know everyone gets to see it. But if you were there, you got to see it early.
Yeah,
but
let's take it to the Batcave. Like you know what I mean? Let's. Why does Superman have a Fortress of Solitude? What's so cool? What does he have at his little bachelor pad that keeps him going back?
Superman cave.
Yeah, he's got a little slip and slide, and that's about it. Some ice sculptures. But let's take a little tour. Let's see what's going on. Impress us. Right?
Take a look behind the cape.
Right. Let's do it. I don't know. I just think it would be fun to do little featurettes or behind-the-scenes stuff just to keep us excited.
I agree.
They could easily show like a quick 3-minute video of how they came up with the design for the Batmobile and show it to us. You know what I mean? That'd be fucking badass, cruising around like an abandoned freaking airport, you know, like in that hangar where this picture's taken, or that warehouse, whatever it is. They could like let it loose and kick the tire. That'd be awesome.
That would be pretty badass.
Start doing donuts and stuff.
Yeah, why don't they do that shit? No, it's got to be a mystery. It's got to be a surprise.
Because there's no humor, there's no joy in the DC universe.
That's stupid.
Including their marketing.
Yeah, I don't know. Missed opportunities.
We give you a black and white photo.
I will send in my resume to the good folks in the PR department of Warner Brothers.
I'll show
them how it's done.
Just be super serious. They don't like not super serious.
Yeah, tell them not to listen to the podcast. They're not allowed to laugh.
Or you know what would be cool? Like, you know how bad villains always do crazy shit, right? To get the city's attention. Why don't they do stunts like that, where there's a message in the sky, some cryptic fucking riddle that we gotta figure out? I think that would be fun, have people guessing.
Yeah, a little viral campaign, guerrilla marketing.
Yeah, exactly. Do it.
Well, it worked for
Dark Knight.
Dark Knight, yeah.
Yeah, where everyone had to go on that scavenger hunt at Comic-Con, that was bad.
Yeah, how badass was that?
And there was all those crazy mysteries of who was gonna die next in the paper.
Yeah.
Sending those messages. Come on, do some cool shit.
Get about it.
I don't know. Or maybe make up some crazy corporation like LexCorp is buying up all these... LexCorp buys Google or some shit. I don't know. Just do something fun.
That's a good branding partner. All of a sudden it's Google Corp. Google brought to you by LexCorp.
Yeah.
Google's like, I'm more a Marvel guy. I saw the Tony Stark.
Yeah, throw enough money at him and they wouldn't be.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think it would be fun.
Moving from one B movie to another B movie, Bourne. Everyone here likes those Bourne movies. Matt Damon, of course, played him in the first three installments, 2002's Bourne Identity, 2004's Bourne Supremacy, and 2007's Bourne Ultimatum. The last two were directed by Paul Greengrass, and Paul Greengrass and Matt Damon became super close, so much so that they made another movie called The Green Zone, about the Green Zone in Iraq, and it was a terrible movie.
It was not good.
It did not make any money, and Universal publicly ridiculed Paul Greengrass for it, and in response to that, Mr. Greengrass vowed never to work for Universal, and Universal continued to say unkind things for him for the next 7 years. Fast forward to 2012, Bourne the Legacy comes out, a whole new directing team, whole new cast, whole new crew, Jeremy Renner as the new, not, he doesn't play Jason Bourne, he plays Alex Cross, but in the same Jason Bourne universe. Didn't do terribly well. It wasn't a bad movie, it was just okay.
I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, to me at least, the weakest of the four Bourne movies. But I enjoyed it for what it was. But I much rather would have seen Jason Bourne, you know, Matt Damon back in it. Today, the Warner Brothers, or Universal, announced that they were making amends with Mr. Greengrass, and that Paul Greengrass and Matt Damon are both on board to make the fifth Bourne movie. They plan to release it in 2016 in a release date slot that they had already assigned to the Bourne Legacy sequel with Jeremy Renner. Justin Lin. Justin Lin, who directed Fast and the Furious, Fast 5, Fast 6, that was signed on to direct. Everything looked like it was going swimmingly, but now their movie's been put on indefinite hold. And their release date given away to Matt Damon. So I didn't know. I didn't know. Does this disappoint you, Amanda? Would you rather see the franchise continue with Jeremy Renner?
No, I just feel bad for what's his face.
Justin Lin.
Justin Lin. Is that his name is?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I feel bad for him.
That's my name and my wife's name.
I know. Right? That just like got me confused for a second. No, I just feel bad for him because he's, you know, he's been working on this movie, and then all of a sudden, oh, sorry, dude.
Go make He-Man.
We're gonna shelve this for a little while.
That's John M. Chu, Justin. That's racist.
That is racist. But he would make a sweet He-Man movie.
I agree. Make a pretty fun movie. Well, what about you, Justin? Are you excited to have Jason Bourne back in the universe, or would you have rather seen where Alex Cross went?
No, I wasn't really into the last one. And when it ended, I'm glad I was still in my seat. I had to go to the bathroom, and if I would have walked away to pee, I would have came back to an empty theater. Like, I was not ready for that movie to end. There was a chase. He was on a motorcycle. They get on a boat, and then it's credits. Yeah. I was like, holy shit, it's over? All right.
It ended pretty quickly.
Yeah.
The music started playing. I'm like, oh my shit, is this the end of the movie?
Yeah. Totally caught me off guard.
Well, I liked it a lot when I first saw it, but then I went back and watched the first three Bourne movies, and I realized how different it was.
Man, I really like the third one. The third one's my favorite.
It's so good. We beat the guy with a book.
Yeah, and I mean, that's because, like, I'm a big fan of Chris Cooper. I love that guy. I think he's an amazing actor, and I really enjoy the first one. But the third one, he's just so pissed and ready to just destroy everybody. It just makes it fun. And because in the first one, you know, he doesn't know who he is, obviously, and he's running, and it's all these questions. The third one, it's like, oh, he's coming to New York, and oh, he's going to kill fools, and it's badass, and blah, blah, blah.
He's just outsmarting him, like, every step of the way. Like, it was like, where are you? I'm in my office. No, you're not. You're in the office. We have this conversation face to face.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, my God, I went back to my office.
Yeah. The Harvey Bar guy.
Yeah, I really love the third one. What about you, Randy? Jason Bourne, Alex Cross, you got a preference? You like them all? Hate them all?
I'm more of a Jason Bourne guy, personally, but I don't really care enough to feel as if I have a true horse in this race. So I'll watch whatever comes.
Ooh. Yeah. I will watch Jeremy Renner in anything.
Even Hansel Gretel.
Yeah, he's a busy guy. He's got like 8
that's
movies.
That's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, it's not half bad.
I'll watch that shit.
I like the girl in it. She's pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's important to realize that we'll probably, in all likelihood, see both movies still. They still do have plans to make Bourne Legacy 2 or whatever they'll rename it. It's just they're hot to trot to bring Matt Damon back because of their previous successes. So, you know, maybe one day we'll see the crossover film to where Alex Cross and Jason Bourne occupy the same space, but that is not going to be this next movie.
They should fight each other.
Also, so much of that Bourne Legacy movie is so confusing.
Kims, anybody?
Because they keep, and I don't even care about that part, but they keep referencing Jason Bourne throughout the movie. Mm-hmm. And right. If you haven't just watched the third Bourne movie, it's incredibly confusing. Like, why?
Oh, they're kind of happening simultaneously, right?
Yeah, they're happening simultaneously.
That's right. I forgot about that. I only saw it the one time. I've seen the third Bourne movie like 6 times, and I loved it. And the last one I only saw
once
in the theater. Forgot about that. I forgot about the regiment, too. Like, they're on that strict needle
blues
diet. Yeah, the pills or whatever. Yeah.
Need my blues. Need my greens.
Yeah. It's like, what's happening?
When I take my, when Amy gives me my vitamins, she calls them my chems. These my blues and my greens.
That's some crazy shit.
Yeah. But yeah, don't feel too bad for Jeremy Renner. He's still got Mission Impossible 5 coming out, Avengers 2, Avengers 3. It's probably going to be in Captain America 3. Who knows? He might even get his own movie. But he's doing just A-OK.
Hawkeye.
Yeah. And then just one more real quick story. Everybody in the world seeing Guardians of the Galaxy by now, just passed $300 million at the U.S. box office this weekend. It will pass $600 million worldwide relatively soon. It'll probably end up about $750 worldwide, which will put it above the first Iron Man movie. And they really, I think, want to start getting some of these Guardians of the Galaxies and the other Marvel properties. And Dave Bautista, who played Drax the Destroyer, has been saying that he will probably play heavily into the plot of Avengers 3. He didn't say whether or not he would have a large role. Smart money right now is that Avengers 3 will be the big face-off between the Avengers and Thanos. Drax has a pretty big bone to pick with Thanos, so if there is a fight to be had with Thanos, I'm sure he's going to want to be involved. But I think that'd be kind of a cool... I mean, I don't know if it might be too much of a good thing, but I could see an Avengers Guardians of the Galaxy team up in Avengers 3, you know. I don't want to see it the whole movie, but maybe just at the end, you know, Guardians swoop in and save the day. So what do you guys think about that? What do you think, Justin?
I don't know.
Less is more?
Yeah. I'm always a fan of less is more, unless it's Iron Man.
Then more is less. I need more.
More is more.
Yeah.
Cannot have too much Tony Stark.
Yeah. I mean, I like everything about Guardians, and all the characters involved were all great, so that, yay. I probably would have pegged him and Gamora as, and not that this is a bad thing, but my least favorite Guardians, but yeah. That's not to say that that's bad. I mean, I love all of them, but I would rather have more Star-Lord.
If you had to rank them, they would be at the end bottom of your list.
Yeah. But whatever. Yeah. It's all good.
That's a good list. It's got Star-Lord, Groot, and Rocket on there. Those are
three pretty cool
characters.
You can't beat those guys.
Yeah. Well, what do you think, Randy? Since Guardians of the Galaxy has been such a big hit, do you think that Marvel needs to tread lightly and not overexpose these unknown heroes? Or do you think that they should capitalize and just fucking blast them everywhere?
Well, what's the release date for Avengers 3? It's still quite some time in the future, right?
Yeah, we're talking 2018.
Yeah.
Right. And do we have an idea when the next Guardians is supposed to hit?
2017.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's possible that it's going to be too much of a good thing, but here, with the popularity of Guardians that we have right now in this very moment in time, if there were a Marvel movie coming out in the next few months that it was a mystery to all of us, we didn't know about, and all of a sudden the Guardians make an appearance in it or had some role to play to some degree, people would lose their shit because it is so popular and they love it still. As long as the sequel to the first Guardians of the Galaxy doesn't fail, doesn't let people down and make them lose wood for whatever it is that they found in these characters that they love so much from this first movie, I think a little extra exposure is not going to hurt it at all. But it really hinges on how well the next, how the sequel plays out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I mean, and they probably, I can't imagine them being pigeonholed into the next couple movies because we have Ant-Man, which I don't see really a place for any kind of Guardians cameos.
Oh, I know. I'm not insinuating that. I'm just saying if for some reason they made an appearance very soon, people would lose their shit because they're so popular right now. They're the in thing right now.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking aloud. I'm just going through the Marvel catalog of when conceivably the earliest we would see a cameo would be, because the Ant-Man we're not going to see. Avengers 2, I don't think they want to muddle because they already have so many heroes.
Maybe another Thor.
Then Captain America 3 is next. Yeah, I mean, Thor would be a great fit because he's...
Another world.
Yeah. But they haven't made any official Thor announcements yet.
Well, everyone gets 3 movies, Dave.
Well, I mean, Thor Dark World made $700 million worldwide. It's a safe bet to say it's going to get a third movie, but...
Hulk 2 and 3 are back-to-back.
Yeah, back-to-back jacks. Yeah.
I wish they'd make a Thor movie without Natalie Portman.
But aren't there already 2 Hulk movies?
Well, they're going to make 2 more. He's so big, he's got to be in 2 screens.
Yeah.
Well, it's a shame, too, because you could argue that there's really only been one good, well-fleshed-out villain in all of the Marvel Universe, and that would be Loki. But
They've used him three times.
Uh-huh. I mean, they really need to do better on their villains. Because, I mean, Ronan the Accuser, I mean, I love Lee Pace, but, I mean, it was a pretty flat character. And
He looked really cool, though, and I didn't even recognize the guy.
Yeah. But I didn't get, like, what his deal
was. Yeah, we weren't really exposed to
He just hated everybody.
He did, and...
But I didn't know why.
And plus, when there's someone that's out there, like Thanos, that's the big bad... He had an opportunity. You know, people that have power want more power, that whole thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just power hungry son of a bitch.
Yeah, he just wanted to kill the Xandor.
Yeah, he's just a bad dude.
Yeah.
It's like
he was in space. Yeah, he was two dimensional, just like really any villain not named Loki. I mean, right. Loki's pretty badass, but
so would you have preferred that he not die and had a bigger role like in other films then? Or were you just...
Like Ronan?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm always a fan of not killing your villains. I mean, comic book movies are notorious for doing that. But I think that they could have fleshed him. I mean, he's this genocidal maniac, renegade from the Kree Empire. I mean, it seems like there could have been a much cooler way to go, but he almost seemed like a sacrificial lamb because... They wanted to make Thanos the big baddie. They wanted them to see that Thanos is pulling the strings because, you know, Thanos is going to be, you know, the main villain of Phase 3 probably.
Right. So what if we would have saw... I mean, I guess we do in the end, but I think it would have been cooler to see it at the beginning where we see Thanos doing something terrible and maybe even Ronan failing Thanos at one point, and that's why we see why he hates him so much and why he wants to go a different route.
Yeah, I would have been totally down for that.
Do something super horrible, but against Thanos's wishes, and then, you know, he gets ridiculed in some way, and then now he has motivation.
Yeah, or maybe he's going for the Infinity Stone, mm-hmm. and it's not until he finds it that he gets this, like, summons from Thanos, like, hey, you think you got it's mine. And then we see him like stand up to Thanos mm-hmm. and not instantly get vaporized. And you're like, oh, this dude's for real. This guy's legit. Instead of just being kind of this like lackey, insolent child who just, I just want to kill all the Xandarians because I'm a Kree and I'm stupid.
Right. Whereas and Michael Rooker's character who was not necessarily a villain, but we got more of him in a much greater capacity and he killed it.
Yeah, Xandu.
He was an awesome Yondu, character. Yondu, yeah.
Yeah, I watched it again this weekend because Luke wanted to
see it. How many times is that for you now?
It's 3 times. Luke, I think people at school have been seeing it because I was kind of on the fence whether or not he was ready for it. But I'm like, I'll do it. And he loved it. So.
Yeah.
I still love that scene with Yondu at the end.
Why do you keep calling him Xandu?
I know. I don't know why. when Yondu opens it up and it's the troll doll and he just like smiles. He's like, you son of a bitch.
Oh.
Yeah, but that's all I got.
That's all good stuff.
Yeah. That's, I feel like I talked for like a year and a half.
That's okay. I like it when you talk.
I like it when you listen to me talk. Yeah.
You talk good.
You sound different.
You talk different than you talked before. Yeah. Speaking of good, how about this new movie, John Wick, with our good buddy, Mr. Keanu Reeves? Have you guys seen the trailer for this? You seen this? You heard about this?
Yeah.
He's this sweet-ass dude that used to be a killer, and now he's not, and his wife died and gave him a puppy before she died, and then fucking Thane Greyjoy plays another asshole in the movie.
Oh my god, I totally didn't even realize it was off.
And Theon, much like Winterfell, kills everybody, steals his house and his car, and kills his dog, and now Keanu is out for revenge.
Yeah.
I like it.
It was rad when John Leguizamo says, where'd you get this car?
Yeah.
And he's like, you could tell he's like, oh, my fucked.
Yeah, he's like, this is why no one likes you, Thane. Fuck up all the time.
This is why they took your dick in season 3.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Spoiler alert.
But this movie has This movie has a pretty fun cast, though. You know, you got Ian McShane, who's a badass. Jason Isaacs is another one of my favorites. Lance Reddick, that guy, he was cool. And Fringe.
Yeah.
All you Fringe watchers. And was he in Oz, too?
Which one was he?
He was in Oz, and he's in The Wire.
Yeah, he's fucking cool, man.
Who did he play in Fringe?
He was Broyles.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, Philip Ross. Yeah, he's a tall dude. He was in Blacklist, too, but not for very long. He was killed. Spoiler.
Oh, yeah. That was a bummer.
Yeah, he wore like a 10-gallon hat. He was a black cowboy. Yeah, he was sweet.
Asking to get shot.
In some parts of town, yeah. Don't
bit
work
off
out
more than he could chew.
Yes, he did. And he's got a big mouth, I'm sure. He's a big dude. One time I ate a whole roll of bubble tape. It was bad.
I got bubble tape. Right?
6 feet of gum, man.
just so you could.
Yeah.
I got 6 feet of gum in my mouth.
That was pretty hardcore.
Like you were chewing tobacco or something.
Not my finest moment, but I did it. Not sure any records were broken, but I felt accomplished.
Guinness did not give you a certificate.
No. Plaque of any kind. Mr. Willem Dafoe is also in the movie, and it wasn't until about 10 years ago that I realized his name was Willem and not William.
Right.
I don't know about you guys, but I was well in my 20s when I figured that out.
Yeah,
I
probably
had never even heard of him before Spider-Man.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Man. Well, he was nothing. He
this
was
is
a nobody.
The 5-year age gap.
Nobody, just Academy Award.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah, no big deal. He was Sergeant Elias in Platoon. He's basically on the cover. He's the guy getting shot in the back. Talk about spoiler alert. Oh, man.
Giving it away on the box.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked up, if you ask me. Platoon's pretty cool, Amanda. It, you know, it shows how horrible Vietnam was. For those of you that don't know.
I think I could have guessed.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, it's pretty horrible. Especially when Oliver Stone tells the story.
Yeah. Bad things happen. But that movie's got a pretty interesting cast, too. It's got Mr. Keith David, freaking Forrest Whitaker. That one guy that's always an asshole, John C. McKinley. Is that his name?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh my god, that guy cracks me up. He's a dick in that movie, too.
Yeah.
Even Johnny Depp's in that movie. Fucking Kevin Dillon. He's a total asshole in that movie, too.
And Michael J. Fox was in Casualties of War, right? The other one that
came
out.
Yeah. That had a pen in it.
Yeah.
I don't remember which one.
It may have been...
Was it Chris Penn?
Sean Penn.
It was Sean Penn?
Yeah.
Chris Penn was in that movie, The Wildlife.
And he was also in Footloose.
And Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
I like this game.
He was a nice guy. Oh my god, he's so funny in Reservoir Dogs when he's like, I don't know who's got the loot. I don't know if anybody's got the loot. I don't know who's caught. I don't know who's not. I don't know who's alive. I don't know who's dead. I don't know who's not. Oh, it's so funny. He just has like this whole freak out, giving out every possible scenario over the phone on this brick telephone.
Yeah. Awesome. Zach Morris phone.
Yeah. We need more of those. They should re-release that. I bet if there was a fucking Apple logo on it, people would buy it.
Hipsters.
Yeah. Check out my sweet brick. The eye brick. Let's do it. Anyway.
Where's my watch?
Where was I going with this?
John Wick. John Wick.
That's a different movie. That's the adult film.
Yeah. No, we're not talking Edward Zwick, the director. We're talking John Wick.
Speaking of the director, the guy who's directing this movie, he's a bit of an unknown poet. He's often a stuntman for films. He doesn't really direct movies. In fact, I think this is his directorial debut.
It is.
Yeah. But he's a hell of a stuntman. I think he was Bobby Fischer's stuntman in Searching for Bobby Fischer.
Yes, he was the 9-year-old kid's stunt
double. Playing chess. He plays a mean game of chess, not gonna lie.
He was the one playing against Lawrence Fishburne, not Bobby Fischer.
Yeah.
Actually, the kid's not even Bobby Fischer. The kid's like Jonathan something.
Yeah, it's not even... The real Bobby Fischer is a bit of a weirdo.
Yeah, he disappeared.
I think he was exhumed like 3 times.
What?
To make sure that he was really dead. I don't know.
I don't think he's dead.
he just keep digging. They haven't found the body yet.
Chess player turned magician.
Yeah, somewhere there's someone just digging holes somewhere. Nope, not here either.
What an asshole. I'm sure he's a fine young man. Anyway.
I think he's like the Phil Fish of chess.
He might be. I don't like Phil Fish.
Nobody likes Phil Fish.
Chess is stupid. I know how to play, but I'm not good at it. The computer beats me. As soon as I turn on the game, it's like mated in 6 moves. And I'm like, we haven't even started yet. I hate it. Anyway. What else we got? Dread! I liked it. You guys liked it. It was kind of a... It was like an unsung hero of 2012. Mr. Dread, right?
You know? Nice surprise.
Yeah. I mean, I saw it. They had a few too many slow motion shots at the beginning, but that went away. Thank goodness. But it was a really, really good movie, Dread, starring Carl Urban and the Meth Mouth woman.
Lena Headey.
Lena Headey, yes. She plays like Mama, right?
Yeah.
She's the mother of the Beagle Boys, right? And she...
Their pie grenade, air grenade pie. And...
Yeah. She's tearing shit up in this slumhouse skyscraper. And this movie was super violent and super good, and I loved every second of it. And it made about $8 at the box office. It was like $35 million, and it cost $50 to make. So
yeah, it because of awesome word of mouth like Justin's, though, it did pretty well on DVD. So it more than made its money back in the home video market.
Yes, and that's where films live on forever, in home video. Right? I mean.
Oh, yeah. Immortal.
People can go to their local Blockbuster and rent the tape.
And as long as they rewind.
The money's endless. But you figure, you know, with Netflix and Amazon Prime, it's on both of those. They had to pay to have that movie, right? And everybody bought it. It's usually like a $10 Blu-ray, and it's an amazing movie. So buy it, watch it, love it. Anyway, moving on. Mr. Carl Urban. He was actually at Chicago Comic-Con, and... He was asked a question about the possibility of characters showing up in Dread 2, and I guess the Dark Judges. Would the Dark Judges possibly make their way into Dread 2? And he's like, you know, why, yes, that's a definite possibility, but it's more likely that we'll do an origin story with Dread trekking through the cursed earth to find the first Chief Judge Fargo. And that's exciting because, in a way, he's acknowledging that there is a second Dread movie in the works. Right?
Yeah.
That's his passive-aggressive way of saying, you know what, I like your idea, kid. Keep throwing them out there. Maybe we'll catch one, but we got this other story we're going to do first, so, you know, go fuck yourself.
It's a great idea. We're not going to do it, but great idea.
Yeah. You got gumption. We like that word around here.
That's right.
Gumption and moxie.
Yeah, and that character, that judge, the first judge, was played by Max von Sydow in... Stallone Dread debacle.
But he was like a dick in that movie, though, right?
No.
He was the one that defended him and ended up getting exiled, too, right?
Yeah, he took banishment to get Dread life instead of death.
Right, right. And then he puts on his cloak and goes out into the desert.
Yeah, and he's going to be in episode 7.
The Judge Dread's going to be in episode 7? Judge Fargo?
Yeah.
I like it.
Max von Sydow.
Bounty Hunter.
He's going to be like
Obi-Wan Kenobi. Super Sith. He's the strange old hermit out in the
He's going to be Darth Plagueis. Randy was right. He was alive.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to start this new order, see? We're going to be called Sith. We're going to
rule of three here. Rule of one.
Instead of order, we're going to have chaos. It makes perfect sense. In all actuality. But I don't know. I'm excited about this. You know, I would definitely go see a Dread 2. I think that this is exciting stuff, and I think everyone should go, too. Send in your letters. Send in a check. Maybe it'll be on Kickstarter. Celebrities do that these days.
There's an online petition.
Oh, because petitions work.
Yeah. Yeah, I think of course they do.
Like those assholes that are in front of Target with clipboards, and you say, oh, you know, I'm not from Washington. They're like, not a problem. What state are you from? And they whip out like 30 different clipboards.
And you're like, Iraq.
Yeah, I'm Canadian, eh? And you just keep walking. I like how you went with Iraq, Dave.
Yeah. You know, I got ISIS on my mind.
You may have committed light treason.
Who's that at my door? You guys are quick.
Some light treason.
I'm in a Arrested Development kind of mood, Amanda. I keep sending her quotes, and she's like not picking up on it because it's just so random.
Well, we haven't done it in a while. So then, like, when you sent me the one with like between Michael and the teacher, Because my brother's name is Michael, I'm just like, what?
Oh, yeah,
I didn't remember the teacher's name.
Yeah, sorry about that. Anyway, Dread. Dread 2. Check it out. Check out the first one if you haven't seen it. It's on. It's got the Cavender stamp of approval. By the way.
Amanda liked it, too.
Amanda liked it, too. Which says, it speaks volumes, actually.
Yeah.
Right, because we know Justin's taste is shit, because he liked Amazing Spider-Man 2.
I enjoyed Amazing Spider-Man 2.
You
just
said
like
it was the best movie ever, and that on your birthday you like to watch it.
Well, speaking of amazing movies, what do we got with the Mockingjay news? The Hunger Games.
Oh my God! Was it the first full trailer they finally released today? It's hard for me to keep track. They released so many videos and call them trailers.
They were teasers.
I guess okay.
They were messages.
So because
from the Capitol
they were less than a minute.
Yeah.
They were teasers.
They're messages from the Capitol saying not fight and be friendly, and because if you resist, then you won't get food.
Yeah.
There were three messages, and then one clip about District 13, and then the teaser, and then the actual trailer.
So, this is the actual trailer. It's lots of explosions. lots of Katniss running around.
Yeah, she has explosive. She took a class from fucking John Rambo. She's got explosive arrow tips.
Yeah,
that's hot.
Yeah,
I couldn't be more fucking bored with a movie.
See, you'd love that book. It has explosive arrows.
Yeah, so I'll read that page, and that's it.
No, I really. Well, I was gonna say I really like how in the book she shoehorns in that fucking bow and arrow by giving Katniss explosive arrows, but I guess it makes sense. It's a whole symbolism sort of thing.
Yeah, Coin kind of forces it on her, because Gale and everyone else gets these kick-ass little crossbows, and they're like, oh, here's your bow and arrow. It's like, what?
Right, that's not good. But she's able to take down jets. She takes down jets with her bow.
Yep.
That's impressive.
It's explosive.
And her bow will only respond to her because it feels her fingerprint. We were talking about that earlier.
Oh, shit. It's an eye bow.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's some ringing endorsements here.
I don't know. I'm so over, like, movie trailers most of the time. It's just the same old shit over and over.
We've had a Hunger Games movie every year for the last, like, 10 years, right?
Yep.
Just keep coming out.
Yep. There's
as,
been like
as this is part three.
Right. Nine.
I don't believe
been
that's
nine
accurate.
Movies.
But one every year for the last. This is now 3 years in a row of a Hunger Games movie, though. Correct.
Correct. And we'll get one next year too.
Oh my god!
Because they decided to split the last book into two movies.
Yeah.
For some reason.
I would say the same thing with Hobbit, but I don't think anyone realizes there's another Hobbit movie coming out.
Right. Well, the last one had so much closure.
Oh yeah.
The dragon won.
Just end it all.
Yeah.
It's a good stopping point.
Yeah, Brett, there's
the end.
Breath of fire. Everyone's dead.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Well, I loved the first two Hunger Games, and I loathe the Mockingjay novel, and I was pretty sad when they're breaking it up into two books. But I'm optimistic because we saw a lot of several things in the trailer aren't in the books, and so that's kind of exciting. And then it's cool to see that they appear to be going away from strictly Katniss's point of view. We saw a couple scenes in the trailer that were from other characters' point of views, which is also cool. So it gives me hope of the finale, because if you've read the book, you know where the book's going to end. And there's a lot of cool shit that happens that Katniss isn't privy to, so it would be a shame if she was not there.
But don't we get that a little bit in the first movie, too, though? She's not in every scene. Like the Game Master and all that. I mean, they have to some degree. You know, we have to see what's going on in the game room.
And the Game Master.
And then in the last movie, we got to see the conversations between Snow and
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I couldn't remember his name. I was like Scotty. I couldn't remember his name. But totally.
So yeah. In the first one, we got the only time we were away from Katniss was the control room and the very, very, very end when Cynic eats the berries or gets the berries served to him. But other than that, we're always with Katniss. And the second one, yeah, Francis Lawrence started to open it up to where we got those cool interactions between Snow and Plerark. And so hopefully this time they'll just make an actual movie where Katniss doesn't have to be in every frame.
Is it the same director as the second one?
Yeah. Francis Lawrence, yeah, is going to direct. He directed Catching Fire and he's going to do both Mockingjays.
Who directed the first movie?
Gary Ross.
Oh.
Of Seabiscuit and Pleasantville fame.
And he was fired.
No, he's still executive producer. He just didn't want to dedicate the next 3 years of his life to making it. And he was against doing one a year. He wanted to take longer into production. Yeah, he wanted to take his time. Tour Lionsgate wanted to just pump these movies out as fast as possible.
Well, I guess it's a good thing that they didn't, since they lost one of their actors.
Yeah. And Lionsgate's used to making, you know, they make $1 billion a year with the Twilight stuff, right? So.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a formula down because they're the ones doing Divergent as well.
Lionsgate/Summit. They got the teen, young adult. I said teen. The young adult genre down.
Yeah,
it's like their formula, man.
And the deep whispers are that they're already starting to formulate their Twilight reboots.
Wow.
Oh no.
Because Summit did the Twilight movies and Lionsgate bought Summit as they were releasing Breaking Dawn Part 1, so they really only saw the profits for Breaking Dawn Part 2. And so at the time, everyone was just assuming they were buying it to re-release Twilight down the road. And they were like, we'll make these Hunger Games movies too. You know, Summit owned the rights to them. And then, of course, Hunger Games took off. And so it kind of postponed the Twilight reboot.
Oh, please don't.
Please don't let them do it. The rumors are that once the four Divergent movies are done, that's when they'll have their Twilight movies ready to start coming out.
No!
But they'll be more adult.
I thought it was over.
Is it going to be a proper reboot, or is it going to be a new series of stories?
No, it will be the same four books retold again.
Why don't they just make new adventures? The New Adventures of Bella.
Because they know that suckers will watch the exact same thing from like 10 years ago.
I don't know. That's dumb. So I mean, bad. The whole, I don't care. Whatever. Fuck it. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. I'm running the show. No more stuff.
What do you want to talk about then?
Do we have a list? I hear Randy is Mr. Gung Ho on the list.
I do have something kind of fun. Now, this isn't a top 10 list per se. It's in no particular order.
You had one fucking job, Randy. A top 10 list.
A list is in order, Randy. You just have things. It could be a grocery list.
Killing me. What do you got?
Give you a grocery list if it'll make you happy. These are some fun Sean Connery quotes, and these aren't from his movies. These are just him about life in general. Maybe some filmmaking stuff here and there. It's just Sean Connery being overall kind of cool.
How many do you have?
I got 10 just because.
Can we just say the top 10 Sean Connery quotes then? Just to make it official?
Sure.
Let's do that.
Top 10 Sean Connery quotes that have nothing to do with any kind of movie.
More podcasts!
Okay, now, can I make one small request though, Randy?
Sure.
Can you do the quotes in the Sean Connery voice?
Yes. I cannot.
Oh, come on.
No. Because that would be terrible. When have you ever heard me do voices?
I never.
That's why I'm hoping.
Okay, I can only do one line as Connery out of Last Crusade, and it's not very good.
Let's hear it.
If you actually want to hear, I'll do the entire fucking list. I don't even care. I already got some whiskey in me. Hold on, let me close the door. Shit's about to get real here.
So your wife doesn't hear you?
Yeah, I don't I don't want the wife or the cats listening to this.
She's gonna be like, "I'm leaving this guy. He can't do it. He does a shitty Connery. I can't be married to him."
Do it.
Do you lose him?
No, I'm here. I'm practicing with my mic off.
Oh.
I'm still practicing.
Oh. I'm all holding on with like both hands over here.
I know you're like white knuckling it over there.
Yeah, I'm ready to flip.
Would you feel better if we all did our terrible Sean Connery? So you feel better about yours?
Yeah. Each one of you say something in a terrible Sean Connery accent, and that'll give me the little extra boost of confidence that I need to get this out.
Randy, you're being a pussy. See, it cannot be worse than that. The pen is mightier than the sword.
I was going to say.
Let's quote something from
I'll take the penis mightier. Can't even do the voice because I laugh at that line.
Trebek. Yeah. Suck it long. Suck it hard.
Doesn't he take the rapist? Is that what it is?
The rapist.
Yeah.
Or,
oh my god. Okay.
Or I'll take the rapist. What does he say?
An
like
Al-rapist.
Yeah.
So I'll take the rapist for 400. That's therapist. That's not what your mother said.
Or swords, right?
Swords.
Is it S words?
Yeah.
But, and you wagered the state of Texas.
Right.
All right. Let's do this.
Ready.
All right. Number one. Because I'm starting at number one.
Sure. It's your list.
I admit I'm being paid well, but it's no more than I deserve. After all, I've been screwed more times than a hooker.
I like it.
That's good.
Your comedy's not that bad. What are you all self-conscious about?
Dude, I used to practice my comedy. just a secret between us here, because I know no one else is going to be privy to this. I really do love Last Crusade, so I find myself quoting it a lot. And I try to do Connery in Connery's voice. I know, I'm teasing. All right.
All the internet knows now.
Number two. Love may not make the world go round, but I must admit, it makes the ride worthwhile.
Aw.
See, some of these are inspirational. They're not all about beating women.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like Sean Connery. It's like too sweet and something you get on like a Hallmark card.
Some of these are, like I said, they're quite inspirational, which is why I felt like we could use this on our podcast. Number three. There's nothing like a challenge to bring out the best in a man.
Wow.
Number four. I like women. I don't understand them, but I like them. And I like to beat them. Number five.
Wow.
I've always hated that damn James Bond. I'd like to kill him. Straight quote.
He really said that?
He apparently never liked playing the character. You know what? What really offended him is he didn't like having to be portrayed as an Englishman because he is so very much a Scotsman.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is so proud of where he's from that he really feels like it sucked the life out of him to
be English.
Just to throw out the English accent and to play such a prominent Englishman. So there were a couple quotes to that effect in here, but they weren't really positive quotes or that fun. So that was the only one that I kept in here, I think.
Yeah, they have their election in 2 days to declare independence.
Big that was crazy.
I'm like, you get a vote? Why have you waited so long to vote if you guys hate them?
Well,
but it's only like
it's
51-49.
A very long and storied conflict.
Yeah. No, how complicated can it be?
John Oliver, he did a pretty funny thing last night on it. Talking about,
oh yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
It was really good. I mean, there was a point in time when the kilt was outlawed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how shitty the British are.
Yeah.
Just to be dicks.
We got from under their boot like 250 years ago.
Yeah.
Or it's the 230 something.
Come on, Scott.
Well, it kind of helped that we had an entire ocean between us.
Right. They're on the same land.
Yeah.
They should really just get their hammers and pickaxes and just separate.
Yeah.
Build a trench. Yeah. Float away.
Like that bug shove bunny, off. Like that bug bunny cartoon of him cutting away Florida.
Yeah. Get to chiseling. Not too many chisel monkeys in Scotland.
What's next?
Well, they got golfers.
They do.
Golfers!
Oh. You know what? I'm going to skip number six and go right to number seven because it's about golf.
Do it.
Number seven. I met my wife playing golf. She's French and couldn't speak English, and I couldn't speak French. So there was little chance of us getting involved in boring conversations. That's why we got married really quickly.
John Connery knows something about love.
Coming back, yeah, it's serious. Coming back to number six, some age, others mature. A little bit of wisdom there for you. Number eight, because I like to skip around. The knighthood I received was a fantastic honor, but it's not something I've ever used, and I don't think I ever will.
Not like our good buddy, Mr. Ben, Sir Ben Kingsley.
Yeah.
Almost got fucking shot for saying Mr.
Yeah.
He'd be coming to your house.
Yeah.
Daggers were shooting out of some people's eyes, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Wait, what did he do?
He does not like to be called anything but Sir.
Oh.
Ben Kingsley. Yeah.
In our Box Troll press line, he had a that came in advance and warned us all that it's Sir Ben Kingsley.
Did you see IGN posted today about Sir Ben Kingsley, and it says in the headline, Sir Ben Kingsley. I fucking laughed. I thought that was so funny. I was like, yeah, you don't want to get like blacklisted from ever talking to the guy again. He was Gandhi.
And the Mandarin.
Sounds more like the Mandarin now than fucking Gandhi.
And the fucking money. Number nine.
Who would win in a fight between Sean Connery and Ben Kingsley?
Connery, for sure, because he fights dirty.
I don't think anyone can beat Connery.
I think Tom Selleck could beat the shit out of Sean Connery.
I don't know, man. Give him a sword. He's going to get all Highlander on you. All right, here we go for number nine. Getting back on track here. I never trashed a hotel room or did drugs. He's a clean guy.
That's the quote?
Yeah.
Yeah. You should clean that up.
A lot of people can say that.
Does he post these random musings in the Scottish Times or something?
I think these are culled from various different interviews throughout his long and storied career. So this just basically goes to show that he's not the stereotypical Hollywood type that lets his money and his power and his fame go to his head.
I see.
Basically, he's just saying, I'm not Charlie Sheen right there.
Yeah. Harrison Ford is a weenie.
Say, winning.
Number 10. More than anything else, I'd like to be an old man with a good face, like Hitchcock or Picasso.
Wow.
When I think Hitchcock, I sure think face.
I think of his big ass gut silhouette.
But he has an interesting face though when you look at him.
Does.
And Picasso, I don't know if he's referring to a painting or the man. So
he wants his eyes all fucked up.
Either way, I do believe he, and I think a lot of women will probably be behind me on this. He aged very well, and he was a very attractive man all the way through his acting career, from the beginning till the end. And nobody's really seen many pictures of him recently, but I'm sure he's fantastic.
He could still steal all of our wives with little effort.
I doubt that.
Hmm.
My wife would not succumb to the power of Connery.
You would succumb to the power of Sean Connery.
I'd probably be scared of the man, but I wouldn't succumb to him.
You would succumb.
Mm-mm. Was that nine?
That was ten. That's my list, folks.
All she wrote.
Woo!
What a fine list. Sean Connery.
And the voice acting of Randy Van Dyke.
Yay!
I am not an impersonator. By any stretch of the imagination. But it was fun.
I thought we had Connery on the podcast. I was convinced.
I think you did just fine.
In fact, we're going to have Connery on the podcast next week.
Yeah, we're going to hear what he has to say about my terrible accent.
Anybody got any shout-outs or things that they want to mention before we go? Anybody working on anything exciting that they need to pimp out?
No.
I'd like to pimp out a little something.
It's not a good matter, is it?
No, there was a film that I worked on, It's been about a year ago now, and it just now hit Amazon. It's called Bloodsucker Jones. It is a crazy comedy about a legendary vampire killer, and it's just totally weird, crazy, retro, cool, a lot of fun, and there are a shit ton of extras on the DVD, and you guys should check it out. It's been hitting all sorts of film festivals, and people are absolutely loving it. So if you like comedy and you like just bizarre independent films, check it out.
Cool.
I ordered mine. Should get it tomorrow.
Sweet. Fantastic.
You should get Justin a review.
And you get to see my ugly mug in it, too. I have a small cameo. And if you listen to the audio commentary, I'm on there, too. And they come packed with they're blind packed with these little trading cards. And the character that I play in the film has a trading card as well. So there's a chance, like a 1 in 60 chance, that you might end up with a little collectible depicting myself.
Oh.
So that's kind of fun.
It's your Skype avatar.
It is, actually. Oh, I'm a narcissistic son of a bitch. I love it.
That's okay. We all are. This is Hollywood, man.
Right. Yeah, we have a podcast because we like to, regardless of anybody else who listens to it, we like to listen to our self-talk.
Oh, yeah. I listen to it while I make sweet love.
That's right.
Oh, awesome. God.
And I make other people listen to it while they make sweet love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I edited it out to where it's just me talking, so it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, it makes sense to you because you know what you know. You know the other side of the conversation, so
right.
It's fine. It's like you're on one side of a phone call.
Right. Quick shout-out to some of our friends. We have Tony Tolato over at Sci-Fi Talk. It's a great website. Check it out, scifitalk.com. Then we also have freaking Mr. Tim Byers from The Full Bleed. Is he a .NET? He might be a .NET.
Yeah, he's a .NET.
He went the .NET route. Remember The Net with Sandra Bullock? It's a lot like that. Check it out.
With less Dennis Miller getting killed.
Right. Right. That's too bad. Remember that movie? She has like a little fireplace on her monitor.
I thought. Oh, was... yeah.
And she ordered a pizza from the internet in like 1995. That was weird.
What?
I know. Who knew that was possible? That movie was ahead of its time.
My mom had like dementia.
Oh, I forgot about that part. Oh, well. Mr. Tim Byers does not have dementia.
Yeah. Go to his website.
He's got the wit of Sandra Bullock in The Net. He's a real sharp guy.
I mean, even though he didn't quote Justin or I in his article about, you know, no fun in Batman and Superman.
Cool. I know. I sent the man links. I sent him a link to the podcast that had the discussion, and I sent him your article all about no joke policy with Warner Brothers. I don't know, man.
Not cool, Tim.
Byers, yeah, you done fucked up. You're on the list. You are on the list. I'll tell you what. And then you also have the Flash podcast, which is hosted by Mr. Andy B., who spent a glorious night with us in San Diego.
I'd say magical is the better word.
Magical. The man was naked in front of Stephen James, who was just trying to watch a shark movie. That's it. But what can you do? Andy B., we love you. Fine young man. And I think that's about it, right? We got New York Comic Con coming up soon. When is that coming out?
Couple weeks,
yeah. So stay tuned to Geek Legacy for all your geek news and reviews for coming out of freaking New York Comic Con. I'm sure we'll have some fun interviews for you with some wonderful writers, artists, and things of that nature.
We better.
Looking at you, Heather and Zach. Zach and
others.
And others and friends, right? They're a crew. Crew of four. We're saying a gang. We're gonna flash the Geek Legacy colors. So yeah, that's it. Remember to like us on Facebook, follow us on the Twitter there at Geek Legacy. Check out the other podcasts we have in the Geek Legacy Network. There is the fucking Pixelated Podcast, which is hosted by Stephen Jane, sometimes David Edmondson, and myself. Then we also have the Comic Corner, which is hosted by Jeff and Tyler, where they review comic books currently on their pull list. I think that's it. Remember to visit geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews, and you have a fabulous week.